For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Welcome to week 22, everybody. You made it. Maybe. Some of you might just be watching because it's habit at this point, but those that are still rolling, congratulations. You head-to-head leaguers, you're a crazy bunch. I'm in a couple of head-to-head leagues. I have to. I mean, it's sort of comes with the territory. You got to be able to talk about them. If you're going to be a fantasy analyst, you kind of have to do them, which probably should be a reasoning for me to get into a dynasty league, but I still don't really talk about it. So, you know, problem solved, I guess, on that front. I'm Dan Bespris. This is Fantasy NBA Today. Thanks, as always, for joining us, everybody. This is a SportsEthos.com presentation. Here's what's coming up on today's show. The quick version is we're going to be recapping all 30 teams' most recent ballgame, provided they played any time in the last three nights, which I think everybody did. We will be doing a second show, possibly immediately following the conclusion of this one, depending on how timing works out today. That's my goal, but we'll see if it fits. Kind of depends on how long this show goes. That show is going to be focused exclusively on head-to-head schedule analysis, so make sure that you subscribe however you're taking in this content so that you get a little bloop when that second show comes up. This show is not going to focus that hard on schedules. I know a lot of you guys are always like, Dan, what about, you know, what if this guy plays two games in this stretch? That's not what I'm worried about right now. This show is a little bit more geared towards Roto. It's geared towards head-to-head leaguers that are looking for someone you can basically hold for a while, or someone that's going to be giving you an intense bump in production, potentially over a short term, or medium term, or wherever it turns out to be. But this show is about, is not as concerned with weekly moves. So if I talk about streaming on this episode, it's going to be about a guy that I think might be able to put up some big numbers, things of that nature. Hopefully that analysis makes sense. Let's go ahead and dive straight in, because we got to talk about 30 teams, and that tends to not happen all that fast. Starting on Sunday, we'll work our way backwards through the weekend. Phoenix at Milwaukee. The Bucks were without Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they won anyway. Luckily, we have some teams as we go through this board that are pretty easy to handicap, and Phoenix happens to be one of them, because now that they have their main guys back, you start the starters, and that's it. Yusuf Nurkic tapered off after a hot start to the year, which was kind of expected. I don't think there was really ever a chance that he was going to keep up his early season pace. He's been fine, but he's kind of now landed in that doesn't matter chunk, number 113. He's a real doesn't matterer. But you can start him. And Beal, Grayson Allen, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. Easy peasy. Wrap it up. Move on to the next thing. Okay, then. Bucks side. Okay, so don't read too much into this. Bobby Portis's monster game eliminated me, actually, in one of my leagues. I'm pretty pissed about that. I may have a rant mid-show when we get to the relevant parties. Portis is one of them. I happened to be playing against Bobby Portis in both of my cash head-to-head leagues. I did not have him as the guy that was going to knock my butt out. But his massive field goal percent game was a huge difference maker. And this, of course, is because Giannis was out. Chris Middleton came back And obviously, if he's available, you pick him up, because especially if Giannis is out, he's going to be doing a bunch. He'll be doing enough even with Giannis back. As I've said from the beginning of this season, he's a much larger headache than he's worth, but we're so close to the end now that kind of who cares? So you go get him in Roto, go get him in whatever format you can bother with. Now, the problem, of course, is that they have a back-to-back. And I said we weren't going to talk much about schedule analysis, but this is probably a two-game week for Middleton. So if you're in your head-to-head playoffs, that's probably not going to work. Otherwise, it'll be fine. Otherwise. Malik Beasley still got 11 shots up in this one. That's going to trend down when Giannis and Middleton are both in there. So he will probably, he'll probably end up being a schedule type guy, but Bucks don't have a particularly good schedule for a couple of weeks yet. So Beasley, a big arrow down. Jay Crowder had a big ball game here, but I truly don't care. The real note to take away is if Giannis is out, you play Bobby Portis. And in this one, they went big. Brook Lopez only got 18 minutes. He put up a big line in 18 minutes, but Portis got so damn hot that they were just like, you know what, Bobby, you're the center for today. You're the captain now. Miami was without Jimmy Butler in this ballgame. We don't know for how long. They managed to squeak past Detroit. Maybe this was a one game we can win without you against the Pistons kind of a ballgame. It was the front end of a back-to-back. They're in Philadelphia tonight, so maybe Butler's back. Keep an eye on that. If Jimmy's out, that elevates Jaime Jaquez Jr. into streamable land. If Jimmy's in, then Duncan Robinson for Tyler Hero remains basically the only reliable stream you can use there. Caleb Martin is going to be kind of teetering on the relatively close bubble. And with Butler out, he was probably on the right side of that cut line. With Butler in, he probably trends a little bit more towards the outside of it. You guys know my feelings. This Heat roster is Butler, Rozier, Adebayo, and Hero. And when Hero's out, it turns into that fourth slot, turns into Duncan Robinson. But when two guys are out, sometimes you get an extra couple of dudes that become fantasy playable. Caleb Martin, Jaime Jaquez, both relatively close. So when a usage guy goes out beyond Tyler Hero, that's where sometimes you get two extra dudes that are playable. I think Butler might be back. I feel like this was a rest game against Detroit, but, you know, wait, watch the news for later on today. We're already getting info on who's in and who's out in a couple of spots. He's questionable for tonight. That makes me think he's playing, but only one way to find out, and that's to wait and see. Simone Fontecchio dealing with a great toe issue. Big toe hurts for Simone, which is a shame because he's been filling in pretty damn well for Ausar Thompson. And obviously, Detroit with a good schedule right now, so this could be a real pain in the butt there. They started a 6-game and 9-nights stretch yesterday, so the hope was to hold all of these guys through Monday of next week if you're in long streaming mode. If Fontecchio gets ruled out for this ball game today, you probably think about going some other direction. I mean, he's playing well, but I don't know about good enough in a 3-game week. Evan Fournier popped off. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, he played well, so like that's the first thing. He was shooting the ball well. He was passing the ball relatively well. The guys weren't hitting shots, but he got a bunch of steals also. Admittedly, Miami without Butler offensively is pretty anemic. And I look at this, and it's like, okay, well, it wasn't because Fontecchio was out. Simone basically played this ball game. So where did Fournier's minutes come from? Largely Jaden Ivey, with a smattering from Marcus Sasser. Meaning there's really no guarantee that Fournier gets these minutes again. It is worth pointing out, though, that if Fontecchio is out for this ballgame, we already know Ausar Thompson is out dealing with some lung stuff. There's word that it might be asthma-related. Either way, hopefully he's not out for too much longer. It's pretty crummy news on the Thompson front. If Fontecchio's out and Grimes is still out, I think he's... Did Quentin Grimes get upgraded to question? No, he's out already. I have no idea who Detroit's next power forward up would be. It might, I guess it's small forward, but you know they rotate through. It might be Evan Fournier. So if you get news later on today that Fournier is starting this ball game, he's probably worth a one game drop in. And maybe it ends up being more than that. I don't know. Of course, if Thompson and Fontecchio come back at some point this week, and we don't even know if Fontecchio is going to miss a game yet, but let's say they're out for this one, and you pick up Fournier, you may end up getting one game out of that and then having to get the hell out of the way. So it's a very dicey play on the head-to-head side. This is a hell of a ball game. Dallas-Denver, Kyrie Irving with about a 20-foot lefty hook shot to win it. That was wild. Please go watch that highlight if you haven't already. There's really nothing to take away on the Denver side. For Dallas, Daniel Gafford was in foul trouble and still got up to 24 and a half minutes. That's a good sign. Maxi Kleba played 20. Derek Lively got 23, so they went relatively large for stretches in this game because, you know, Jokic is a monster and Denver front line is relatively big, not huge. What do we learn? Well, Luka's back, so Tim Hardaway Jr. disappears quickly. PJ Washington, I've talked about this 100 times. You guys know I really don't like playing guys on heaters because then the other shoe drops and you get this series of just like gross, gross ball games. Now, at least he had 11 rebounds and a block in this one, but bad PJ can be very upsetting. So who am I playing? Irving, Doncic, and Gafford. That's it. There's a handful of guys, PJ included, Lively, maybe Derek Jones Jr., maybe Dante Exum. These guys are all considerations when Dallas has a better schedule, but they're in a two-game week right now. So I know I mentioned I wasn't going to talk too much about schedule stuff, and I still don't want to focus on it too hard. Obviously, if you have Kyrie or Luka, you're hanging on. And frankly, Dallas having games Tuesday, Thursday makes that an easier decision. I think for Gafford as well, you hold through Thursday. And if this is your finals week, then obviously you can drop any of them after Thursday because they don't play anymore. It's your finals week. Cut ties with the best player in the NBA if their schedule is done. So bugs sweep it in here. Toronto does not have a great schedule this week, but I don't care because Gary Trent is putting up really nice numbers. Kelly Olynyk, generally nice numbers. He had some foul issues in this ball game, which once again held him back. Game also ended early. Orlando also plays really good defense. You're going Trent. You're going Olynyk. You're going Emmanuel Quickley, who was just horrible shooting the basketball here. And I still think you can probably roll with Bruce Brown. It's not as much of a guarantee, but with RJ Barrett out, tending to family matters. He had a loss in the family, which is pretty awful stuff. But again, with all the guys that are already out for Toronto, I kind of don't see how Bruce Brown doesn't have some kind of fantasy value. He probably falls in the doesn't matter club for Roto, and then for head-to-head, that makes him like a very good schedule play, but their schedule isn't that good, so meh. If you absolutely positively had to move on, I'd be okay with it. It just feels to me like you probably have somebody worse on your team than Bruce Brown. If you don't, congratulations. You have a very strong team. Orlando hasn't had a fantasy note since Wendell Carter Jr. came back from his injury like 2 months ago. They legitimately haven't had a note since then. Paolo had a good shooting game here, typically a points league dude. Franz Wagner is a 9-cat guy. I feel like Franz has slowed a little bit after a hot start. Where is he ranked now? I haven't looked in a while. No, he's still hanging in there. Right around number 70. Right around where he got drafted. I need to come up with a name for guys that finished like right at their ADP. It's not a win.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's not a loss, but it's also not really a neutral because avoiding a loss is actually more important than getting a win on fantasy draft night. So it's like the world's smallest win. and generally pretty healthy. So anyway, all right, let's not waste time on the Magic. They're boring. Boston blew out the Wizards, hit 24 three-pointers. Well, I think 17 of them, 17 or 18, were in the first half. And then Sam Hauser got hurt. He had 10 threes in this game before turning an ankle in the third quarter. I mean, it legitimately looked like Hauser might threaten the NBA record for three-pointers, but he's been ruled out for tonight, second half of their back-to-back. Horford is out. Holiday's out. Tatum is questionable. Sounds like Jaylen Brown is questionable. Also, I would expect Jaylen Brown to play in the second half of the back-to-back. I would expect Tatum to sit, but you never know. And then we got word just moments ago, Kristaps Porzingis is back, ladies and gentlemen. Excellent news on that front. So Porzingis is back. What did he miss? Week, week and a half, something like that. Which means if you were thinking about going the Luke Kornet route, please allow me to gently steer you in another direction. Kornet's not going to put up numbers in this one, not with Porzingis back. He'll back him up, and he'll play 18 minutes or something like that, but that's not enough to rely on. If you were looking for sort of like the one game, we call it a fantasy one-night stand, Peyton Pritchard just had one. He probably has another because he'll fill in for Jrue Holiday alongside Derek White. And that's probably about as far as you go, given that Hauser's out now, which is a real shame because Hauser was a guy that I told everybody to pick up on yesterday's show because of the Celtics' awesome, awesome, awesome schedule. And that now, after exploding for one game, kind of falls on its face. As far as Washington goes, they are into a bit of a semi-tank, which is silly when you think about it because they lose anyway. But I don't want people to get caught up in that part of it. It's like, oh, well, why are the Grizzlies, why do the Wizards need to rest guys? They're already the worst. It's really just about guys starting to get a little bit worn more than anything else. Because the main guys for the Wizards have basically played in their games this year. Tyus Jones has played 66, Kuzma 65, Poole 66, Kispert 66. It's bad news, by the way, when a team that's been largely healthy has been this bad. But that's where you're at. Tyus Jones missed both halves of the back-to-back, dealing with back spasms. Kuzma, shoulder soreness, which sounded more like a rest day. And then Koulibaly dealing with a right wrist issue. He's a rook, so if they're taking him out for a game, that's probably a real injury. Washington does not have a great schedule this week, but not the worst. They go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. They go on sort of the slightly lower traffic days for whatever that's worth. And again, we'll get more into this stuff on our afternoon show. But like Tuesday's a 5-gamer, Thursday's 7, Saturday's a medium-sized card. It's not that any day is particularly large this week, though. Does any day have more than 9 games? I don't think so. So it's not really a light and dark kind of week for scheduling. It doesn't really give these guys any advantage over everyone else because you're probably not in overflow mode. Basically, what you need to be watching for here is who's in and who's out. The nice thing is the Wizards are not a good head-to-head team this week. So you don't really have to be like, oh my God, how do I make the move? What do I do? Because I don't know who's going to be in and who's going to be out. You can pretty much treat them as I got to look for rest of season guys on this team. And those guys right now are Jordan Poole, obviously Kuzma when he comes back, who's been, maybe I shouldn't say obviously, because he's number 106, but that's startable in all formats. He hasn't been amazing because the percentages continue to hurt, but he's been more than good enough, and he puts up the nice popcorn numbers. Tyus Jones, Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, those guys are the really obvious ones. Corey Kispert, I think, is holdable right now. I know he was bad in this ballgame, but generally he's been pretty good lately given the various injuries. Denny Avdia is another guy you can probably hang on to lately. He's also been a little bit banged up, but you know, looking at, what do we look? I guess we can look at like the last month. Avdia is hurt with his free throws, but 15-9-3 with a steal and a three-pointer is pretty good. Tyus Jones has had a lower scoring month, but like, generally, those guys have been fine. Kispert, you can't really look at the whole month because the few games when the team was healthy, he was coming off the bench and he wasn't startable. When he's starting, I'm good with a Kispert start. And same general story for like the other main guys I talked about. Rashawn Holmes is the question mark right now because he didn't play many minutes in this ball game last night, just 19 of them. And it wasn't like he was in significant foul trouble the whole game. They just went a different direction. They went Patrick Baldwin, a little more Patrick Baldwin at center, a little more Anthony Gill at center just to try things out because they were getting smashed. So it was like, all right, whatever. I think I'm holding on to Holmes where I have him just to see how the next game or two goes. And doesn't sound like Bagley's coming back anytime in the next couple of days. So it gives us a little room to kind of watch and see and then make moves. And then Justin Champagny, who had 14-8 with two steals. A lot of that is because the Wizards had like four guys out. Same story for Patrick Baldwin. Now, if everybody's out again in the next ball game and Patrick Baldwin's starting at power forward, I would probably fire him up. Dude shot 2 for 11 and still had a good fantasy game because he was blocking shots. He was flying around. Champagny, I'd be a little bit more concerned. We saw the steals. I mean, legitimately, if anybody comes back, I don't think I'd play either of those guys against a games cap. But if it's the same group where there's one usage guy and it's Jordan Poole, can't hurt to try then. Brooklyn lost in overtime. Oops. Cam Thomas had a nice ball game. Nick Claxton was fine. Mikal Bridges can't shoot, but he was fine. Cam Johnson played all right off the bench, actually. 12-5, a steal, a three-pointer. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Cam. Dorian Finney-Smith had four steals. He played 37 minutes, and obviously what we've always talked about with him is he needs about 34-ish minutes to hit fantasy value, and he got to that in this one, but overtime did play a role. And then Dennis Schroeder is the one that I think, well, we're bouncing around a little bit here. So here's what you're doing. If you're using up a guy against the games cap, the ones that you can definitely start are Cam Thomas, because right now he's just going to take 20 shots a game. Bridges, even though he's kind of killing you in some categories, he's a start. And Claxton. Those three are the obvious yeses. The next rung down for me would be Cam Johnson, who I'm leaning towards yes against the games cap, but also he might be in that doesn't matter group. And the next rung down is Dorian Finney-Smith and Dennis Schroeder, who, again, Finney-Smith needs a crap ton of minutes because he's just not going to take any shots with all these guys back and healthy. The two Cams are back now. And Schroeder, who can get you some points and some assists, but oftentimes hurts you in stuff. Generally doesn't hit many three-pointers. Yes, he did have two here. He doesn't get many defensive stats, although he did have two here. But field goal percent, turnovers, open gaps in 9-cat game, those things all tend to kind of add up on Schroeder. I know a lot of you are like, Dan, stop. Like, if I'm punting even one of those things, then he's a start. Yeah, but I don't know if you're punting those things. If you're hunting points and assists, okay, fine. But if you're using him against the games cap, there is absolutely no guarantee that he posts a top 100 line on any given night. And he sort of did here. Turnovers and field goal percent sank him a bit, but you'll take 19-7 with some three steals and blocks, that kind of stuff. You're not going to complain about this particular line, but I am saying that he's on the borderline. Wemby went full Wemby in this ball game. He'd been kind of quiet the last week, or last like two-ish games, but he wasn't quiet in this one. He's trying to chase down Kawhi Leonard for the number 6 spot in fantasy right now. How wild is that? Trey Jones had a nice game in overtime. Devin Vassell had a pretty nice game in overtime. I think Trey Jones is more of a doesn't matter range guy. You know, 115 to 140 kind of stuff. Play him, don't play him, I don't care. If you need what he does, play him. If you don't need what he does, you don't. Keldon Johnson had 24 points, but I very much don't care about that. He's a schedule level guy, as is Jeremy Sochan. And that's it for San Antonio. Atlanta smashed the Clippers in the late game yesterday. Did not see this one coming. Bogdan Bogdanovic was hurt late in the ball game. Hopefully he'll be ready to go for Atlanta's next one. They are finishing up a good scheduling run, and then they pivot into a very bad one starting tomorrow for the rest of this week. So, see what happens tonight. If you find out he's not playing tonight, frankly, if any of these Atlanta like non-star level guys are not playing tonight, that gives them 3 days off before their next ball game, and they would then kind of become an unplayable. But nobody else is on the injury report, at least not yet. So Bogdan's the one guy to monitor. So you've got Jalen Johnson, you've got DeJounte Murray, you've got Clint Capella, you've got DeAndre Hunter, and then again, if he plays, you've got Bogdanovich, and if he doesn't, who cares? Nobody else is really stepping up for this team. For the Clippers, I think we can officially downgrade Ivica Zubac into just schedule level if you want. Or, I mean, you can put him in the doesn't matter group. I don't care. But you're seeing enough Mason Plumlee, enough Daniel Tice, and enough small ball lineups out of the Clippers that Zubac not getting 30 minutes means he just isn't going to get to daily fantasy value. So you're back to just PG, Kawhi, and Harden. All right. That's about half the league. Before we get to the other half of the league, a quick mid-show reminder to please find me on Twitter at Dan Vesperus. And some of you, a lot of you, in fact, are watching on Twitter right now as we speak. So please take a second to like if you're watching on Twitter or YouTube. Hit that like button. Super close, super easy. Follow on Twitter because there isn't a subscribe button. So one of my headphones falls out of my ear. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on, you know, whatever the millions of pod sites are, please do subscribe. Please subscribe. I frankly beg of you to subscribe because that's a big deal. That allows you to get notes when we do things. Even if you don't end up listening to them, at least you'll know when stuff is happening and you can be a part of it then. So like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. And check out our buddies over at manscaped.com. Use promo code ETHOS20 to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. ETHOS, ETH20 for 20% off and free shipping. And I'm typing it while I'm saying it. There it is. Manscaped.com, ETHOS20, 20% off free shipping. You can get the shears, the nail kit. You can get the handyman, which is an actual electric razor. You can get the lawnmower. That's the sideburn trimmer. As I've said before, I literally do no grooming anymore outside of Manscaped stuff. It's good, I assure you. Also, go check out our baseball stuff right now. It's pivot time. If you guys have an NBA pass, which many of you do, you can upgrade to the All Sport for $2 right now, and then you add baseball. I actually had my one free baseball league draft last night. I can only do one. I can't, and even that I struggle to pay attention to all season long. Mostly because my brain needs a respite after the hardcore basketball deep dive. But these guys have poured so many hours. Joe Orico and his team, like the depth that they go to in their stuff is above and beyond. Plus, you get the 250 rank list from Joe, the Orico 250. You get projections and the live draft tracker powered by ATC Projections. That's all over at sportsethos.com. And we recommence Saturday. What do we got here? All right, the Cavaliers. Donovan Mitchell is out. Broke his nose. We don't know how long, but he got ruled out for Monday's game pretty well in advance. That's not a great sign, but hopefully you get him back for, you know, three games the rest of the week. If Donovan Mitchell is out, we've played this ball game before. Caris LeVert goes back to being useful again, which he was in this last ball game. George Niang gets a few extra shots. Darius Garland gets a few extra shots. Isaac Okoro goes back to being playable. All of these guys that looked like they were about to trend out, trend right back in. The only problem is we don't know how long. If this is like, oh, Donovan Mitchell just needs a day or two for the swelling to go down and then he's back, okay, you know, great. But if there's more to it than that and he's going to miss two or three ball games, then these guys become much more interesting grabs. We don't know yet, and we probably won't know until tomorrow or maybe even as late as Wednesday. Houston's running small. I did try to tell you guys that 25 minutes of Jock Landale wasn't going to be enough if that was the upper limit, and he only got 17 here. So you're running the starters minus Dylan Brooks, who I still have one eye on. I do think there's a chance with Şengün out, Brooks takes enough shots daily to be fantasy playable. I don't think it's happened yet, but I can't completely write it out. Jalen Green is on a heater, which you guys know how I feel about riding guys on heaters. Generally, I don't do it, but he tends to run obscenely hot. And again, with Şengün out, all these guys have sort of no choice but to do a bunch more. So Jabari Smith Jr., Freddie VanVleet, Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, all of these guys are being forced into larger roles, which for efficiency might not be the best, but for fantasy, yeah, chef's kiss. Portland, sucks, but they're still playing a couple of their main guys. DeAndre Ayton, Anfernee Simons were both in there for this one. Simons took one half of their last back-to-back off, just something to keep in mind because they do have a back-to-back Friday-Saturday of this week. Don't know if he's going to play in both of those. If Jeremy Grant happens to resurface, you could play him as well. And then everybody else on this team is schedule level only. Yes, including Delano Banton, who had 28 points, typically roughs you up in percentages and doesn't get any defensive stats, turns it over, doesn't rebound or assist all that much. He happened to get a little bit more of those in this ball game. But yes, I mean, schedule level, Banton, Henderson, Kamara, maybe even Chris Walker, he's more borderline than the other guys. Those guys are all great for schedule plays, and Portland has a pretty good schedule, but against the games cap, hell no. Keep riding Trey Murphy on that Pelicans side. Boy, Jonas Valanciunas has really fallen off the map. You guys might recall that I was in fade Jonas mode at the beginning of this season, and for about 3.5 months, I thought I was a complete idiot, and now I don't feel like such an idiot anymore. It feels like the Valanciunas thing has finally gone in the direction where we handicapped it. It just took like 3.5 months for them to be like, you know what, Zion at center makes sense. It's not like Larry Nance played a bunch in this ballgame. Jeremiah Robinson Earl was the backup point guard with Nance out, or backup center, excuse me, and he got more minutes than JV because they were just spreading him out and running. And that keeps happening to Valanciunas. I think you got to hold on if you have him anywhere, which I have him in one place. I traded for him because I just needed rebounds and field goal percent, but I didn't draft him anywhere. But I'm guessing some of you guys did draft him some places. Probably hang on a little bit longer. This is a bottoming out point for him, and I think he'll probably come back a bit. Herb Jones was also, by the way, out for this one. Don't know his exact timetable for return. That allowed Jose Alvarado to step into a few extra minutes. We move along. Philly beats Charlotte. Charlotte has a bunch of their guys back. Brandon Miller got ejected early in this game, so don't read too much into that. It allowed Davis Bertans to play 31 minutes, but he'd been doing very little prior to that. Trey Mann is a start. Nick Richards is your super-duper low-end, basically in the doesn't-matter group center. I happen to think Grant Williams is also probably in the doesn't-matter chunk. He's been a...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Above that lately, while he's been kind of running hot, but everything always levels off, as it does. Pokuševski's a watch list guy. Miles Bridges start. Vasilije Micić start. Brandon Miller start. Now, of course, Charlotte has the worst schedule in the entire NBA, and we'll talk more about that on our streaming show later today. But in terms of guys that you'd use against your Roto games cap, Bridges and Miller, obviously. Micić, while Cody Martin is out. Trey Mann, I would say yes. And then, you know, Nick Richards is if you're hunting rebounds and field goal percent. Grant Williams is if you're hunting three-pointers, basically. But those guys are not, those are not all format yeses for Richard and Williams. Those are more, a little more specialist-y. And then for Philly, you know, they needed to play a bad team, so this was a sort of a get-right game. I'm not picking up Nick Batum. Kyle Lowry is an assists and steals stream only, so not games cap ready. Maxey and Oubre are kind of the only Sixers that I'm trusting right now. And Oubre's been bad for the last few weeks, mostly because his turnovers have been high and his percentages have been low. But when he gets 16 shots and is playing 30-some-odd minutes, he tends to end up somewhere in the 65 to 75 range. So just assume that the numbers will crawl their way back in that direction. And then Paul Reed is the other one, who only got 19 and a half minutes in this game, still managed to put up 11 and 8 with a block. I continue to not really know why I have this sinking feeling, this feeling of dread, but this ball game was a little bit of a taste of that dread, because Mo Bamba played better, I guess. That was the assessment here. Not entirely clear that that was true, but Bamba just got more minutes for this game, and that forced Paul Reed into a smaller role. But every time he gets 25 minutes, he's a go. So technically, he remains a yes. Buddy Hield, sadly, is a drop. He got phased out pretty quick in favor of Kyle freaking Lowry. Decided they needed a big booty point guard more than they needed a floor spacing score, I guess. Brooklyn, we talked about already. Indiana, they've got a nice schedule this week. And good news for those who have been soft holding Aaron Nesmith forever. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Because Aaron Nesmith is being forced to play a bunch of minutes, and he's finally starting to get his rhythm back. Thank heavens. So he's a start. TJ McConnell is still a start. I know it seems insane, but in 20 minutes of ballgame, he's rolling top 75 for almost a month now. A little bit less than that. Obviously, the absence of Benedict Mathurin has helped all of these guys, but they just really like what McConnell's bringing with that high-octane bench unit, and he had one bad game mixed in there, and then generally a whole bunch of decent ones and, like, two really good ones. So, yeah, TJ McConnell. Fire him up, man. Washington, we talked about. I mean, look, this is what Corey Kispert did the previous ballgame, so if you watched the recent one, you were like, ooh, oh, no. He had 9 cash stats in this. Anyway. For Chicago, my brain is exploding. Down Coby White for the last couple of ball games. He's questionable for this one. It sounds like he's getting closer, but there wasn't really an ad anyway. My hope was that we'd see Andre Drummond get a spot start and then you could drop him in there, but didn't happen. Chicago is also coming to the end of their good scheduling run. Today is sort of the end of it. Then they have 2 games over the next 6 days, so deal with that. As far as, you know, Roto goes, you guys know what to do with this team. They've got 5 Roto-ready guys. One of them is currently out. Move along. OKC. Okay, don't you see that nothing changes for this team? Shea actually had a rare bad game. Don't expect that to happen again. But they won anyway. Shea, Chet, Jalen Williams, easy peasy, on we go. Memphis. So here's one where I did not see this coming. Desmond Bane came back and played 32 minutes in his return. Where the did that come from? First game back, 32 freaking minutes, and he was a plus 11. So anyway, obviously you should have Desmond Bane at this point. I don't care that they only have a 3-game week. The fact that they don't have a single back-to-back until April 5 and 6 is a really good sign. He might get a game off in there. I don't know, because, you know, tank. But their opponents are pretty good early this week. Sacramento, Golden State, I think they'll play their usuals because they, I feel like there's an integrity thing happening there. And then when they play other tanking teams, they pull the plug on some of these guys. So San Antonio on Friday, they'll probably pull the plug on a couple of them. They've got Detroit like 2 weeks down the line. That's another one where you'll probably see everybody get the game off. And maybe there'll be some other ones mixed in there where guys get those days off. But you really might see JJJ and Bane in, I don't know, 70 to 80% of those games? 80%? All right. And what do you do? Well, for one thing, at least we have now 2 guys that we know you can play nightly when they're in, JJJ and Bane. If Vince Williams happens to resurface, he would be the third one that you're like, yes, I feel good about that. The rest of them, it's hard for me to say I feel good about it because John Conchar got pushed back to the bench with Desmond Bane coming back. So Conchar, you don't have to worry about anymore. Kennard is out for personal reasons, so maybe that moves Conchar back into the starting 5. I know, throws hands in the air in disgust. It's why for head-to-head, I don't see how you roster any of these fringy guys. For Roto, you can try to find the ones that, like, so Kennard, when he plays, is playable in Roto. Jake LaRavia has been putting up some decent steals numbers, but 24 minutes isn't going to be enough for him. Aldama had a couple of better shooting games here, and he played 39 minutes, so I guess he's part of the, like, you're a guy I trust group, but typically he hadn't been getting enough shots except when JJJ was out. Maybe there's a thing happening here where having better players around makes Aldama a little bit better. But again, I don't see how you... I couldn't possibly convince myself to use him against the Games cap if I don't know he's going to get a dozen shots. G.G. Jackson, same issue. Not a robust enough fantasy game. And now they're legitimate players around these guys. So with Memphis, you pretty much can only make these decisions like an hour or two before the ball game, and that doesn't really help you in head-to-head because you have a moves limit. And it doesn't really help you in Roto because a lot of them are day before. Warriors beat the Lakers largely because the Lakers don't play defense, and that's largely because Anthony Davis got elbowed in the eye, and his eye basically swelled shut near the end of the first quarter, I believe. I think he got ruled out later in the ballgame, but he basically played the first quarter and was a plus six, and then the Lakers were a minus 13 after he went out. And, I mean, say what you will, like, LeBron had a massive ballgame here, but without Anthony Davis, the Lakers cannot win. This game is going to count as one that he played because he started it, but I think the games, and AD hasn't missed very many games this year, but I'm pretty sure the Lakers have lost all of them except that one weird one where everybody rested in Boston and they won it anyway. They can't guard anybody. They're having a field day. So that's great for fantasy stuff on the other side. Steph Curry, back. He seems fine. Klay Thompson had a good ball game. Draymond had a good ball game. But what do we do? Okay, let's not get into too deep into the weeds. First of all, Brandon Podziemski, I think you can drop. I know he played 35 minutes here. That's good. But in my eyes, there just sort of isn't enough stuff for him to do when all these other guys are healthy. Also, typically, I think you'll see more Chris Paul. He was not a good fit for this particular game, but he'll play more going forward, and that's also bad for Podziemski. Chris Paul, you can use against a Games cap. Klay and Steph, I think you can use against a Games cap. Kuminga, you can use against a Games cap. Wiggins is a doesn't matter. If you need some points and a couple of rebounds and a steal, go for it. If you don't, don't. Draymond, similar thing. He's a doesn't matter level guy. If you need boards and assists, go ahead. If you don't, don't. Trayce Jackson-Davis still got 21 minutes here. That's good, although, again, it helps when you're playing the Lakers team without Anthony Davis. So he was just rim-running and nobody was stopping him. I don't think Jackson-Davis is going to stay above the cut line, provided the Warriors stay mostly healthy. Starting from like before this ball game, he happened to do just enough here. I mean, literally just enough. If he goes for one block instead of two, this game you probably call kind of a net negative. But he got two. So, you know, by the skin of his teeth, I don't think he ends up being a guy you hang on to. For the Lakers, Anthony Davis is questionable for their ballgame tonight. They've got Atlanta. This is a tough... Atlanta went yesterday. They got the L.A. back-to-back 2 days in a row. And then the Lakers go back into 3 days off again. If Anthony Davis plays, you know exactly what to do. If he doesn't, you could probably stream Jackson Hayes, who likely then plays 25 to 30 minutes. He'll get you double-digit rebounds, I would assume, provided he doesn't immediately foul out of the ballgame. You want to see the Lakers get fully demolished by Clint Capella on the offensive glass? Have at it. Minnesota, nice little back-to-back to start the week. They beat Utah handily here. No Rudy Gobert, so that's notable. Naz Reid, and Minnesota now moves into a better scheduling spot. So Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, Mike Conley, those are the guys that you're starting every day. And we'll talk about some streamer level stuff on our later, on our afternoon. Am I going to go back to back? Maybe back to back level show. Utah's one we got to pause for a second because they're moving pretty hard into a tank valuation these days. But I don't know if it sticks because it sounds like Lauri Markkanen might be trying to get back. Johnny Juzang, he played pretty well here, but is currently on the G League roster, so we don't know if he's going to even play in the next ball game. The Jazz you should feel comfortable with right now, Keontae George, Colin Sexton, Walker Kessler from this ball game. If he plays in the next one, John Collins. Jordan Clarkson already got ruled out, but a lot of Clarkson's value was bumping up because Markkanen was out. But now it feels like maybe Markkanen gets back before Clarkson. If no one comes back, I would probably consider playing Chris Dunn. Because 24, 25 minutes is enough for him to put a pretty big dent into defensive stats on your whatever. I mean, if you don't need defensive stats, obviously it's a different thing. But much like the Grizzlies, I don't know how you make a call on Utah until we get the final health report, which, by the way, Rudy Gobert, as of like 10 minutes ago, was at shoot-around, and Herb Jones practiced. So we might be getting those guys back. Just throwing in a little injury note. OG Anunoby, that elbow is not right. Tried to come back probably too soon. Sounds like he's basically back out again. So Precious Achiuwa becomes much more interesting. Nick's schedule is not very good this week, but I'll take three out of Achiuwa if Anunoby needs, you know, a couple games off. Isaiah Hartenstein, 28 minutes here. That's the highest number for him in a month. If that's a sign of things to come, you got to get him back on rosters. Because I think while he, you know, while he was playing 22, 23 minutes, he needed to be dropped. And he did. He got dropped in a bunch of spots. But if he's back up into the high 20s, that's a very different monster and one that definitely needs to be on your roster. Keep playing Josh Hart. That's an easy one. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, watch the Anunoby thing. We know he's out for one. It's going to help DiVincenzo as well, by the way. But Chua's the guy that's going to get the biggest bump there. And then for Sacramento, I mean, this was like a what the hell happened. They played great two games in a row, and then the wheels came off. Basically, you know, when De'Aaron Fox is bad or sits, the Kings have a lot of trouble winning basketball games. Keon Ellis is dramatically outplaying Kevin Huerter these days. If you need steals, he would be your play, and Sacramento does have a good schedule, but you're not using him against the games cap. Harrison Barnes is doing a little bit more, largely because Trey Lyles is out, but I don't trust him as far as I can chuck him against the games cap. Fox, Monk, Sabonis, those are the guys you're using against the games cap right now, and Keegan Murray. Sorry, left him out that first pass. And now we play the weekly game of who didn't play over the weekend that Dan hasn't talked about yet? Is it anybody? There's got to be someone. There's always somebody that I forget. No, how about that? Every single team played over the weekend. Guys, we don't even have to go back to Friday. Wow. What a time to be alive, huh? Wow. All right, we're wrapping it up quick. We got another show coming right after this to talk about streaming for this week. So make sure to subscribe because that's going to be popping up on your feed and we're going to be going live in the next 10 minutes on that. Yeah. Thanks for watching this one. And I know you're going to come back and watch the next one. Right? Right? The questions in the chat room, I can see largely about streaming. So come on over to the other show. We'll talk streaming in that one. This I promise you. This I promise you. If you're watching on Twitter, make sure you follow so you see when the next show goes live. YouTube, subscribe. iTunes, Spotify, subscribe. We're going to try to knock these out both in the morning over here because I think it helps you guys more to have a little bit more time on that. Or, as Manila Most Wanted points out, come on over to Discord. You can chat in there too. That link is in the show description. Either way, I'll talk to you in the next 10 minutes. See you then.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.